Welcome to Be Customer Led, where we'll explore how leading experts in customer and employee experience are navigating organizations through their own journey to be customer led and the actions and behaviors employees and businesses exhibit to get there. And now, your host, Bill Stakos.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another week of Be Customer Led. Another special guest for you all today. I have Eckert Boom, who is the founder and managing director of Unipro Solutions. Now, he is based in Mainz, Rhineland, in Germany. And Eckert and I, we both love jobs to be done, by the way. And maybe those of you who don't know me don't know that. But Eckert has a really very, very new twist on things. And we're going to talk about his framework today as well as other things. Well, Eckert, welcome to the show. I'm really excited to have you on.
Thank you, Bill. I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun show. A lot of learning going to happen today. So as we start off every show on Be Customer Led, tell our listeners about your journey, how you got to where you are, and sort of how you started with jobs to be done to begin with.
Yeah, basically all my career, I've been fascinated by customer orientation. I've been really passionate about this discipline. During my last years at Microsoft, I was the curriculum architect for marketing, the marketing excellence discipline. And I really loved all the concepts that I heard from kind of the thought leaders. Yeah. And it took like, I think, 9 years until then I stumbled into a concept called Jobs Be Done at the Business Model Canvas workshop that was in 2016. And I was really intrigued by this new way of thinking that really explained to me why people by innovations in the first place. And since 2018, I've worked as an independent contractor, serving my clients with jobs to be done training and consulting projects. And since 2019, I've started to develop some tools and a process, which we're going to talk about later on. Yeah. And in May of this year, I started Unipro Solutions because, yeah, I want to take the kind of the profession to the next level.
I love that you actually started a company around this, given your passion. That's really, I mean, that's such an important thing to do anyway. But so you're an expert in jobs to be done, or JTBD, as it also might be called in the industry. Not everyone is familiar with jobs to be done, Eckert. Can you just tell, just describe the method or approach for our listeners?
Yeah, some people call jobs to be done like a theory or a set of principles or a framework. I tend to think of jobs to be done as a way to think about and explain customer needs, in particular, the desire to make progress in life. And people hire products to get a job done. That's kind of the jobs to be done language. These could be functional jobs like getting from A to B. There could be an emotional job like getting peace of mind, or could be a social job getting recognized by others. So jobs to be done really helps to explain why people pull new products into their lives in a certain circumstance, and really helps us to focus on outcomes rather than the product, and also helps to explain the need for innovations. So that's how I would describe jobs to be done in a nutshell.
So I love that, because it's so important in our work to think about outcomes versus output, right? Often in customer experience, we get really caught up in measurement, NPS, satisfaction scores, et cetera. Those are just outputs of something, right, at the end of the day. But what is the outcome from a customer's perspective, and how do you work backward from that? So we're going to talk a little bit about now sort of how maybe you've transitioned a little bit. You use the customer progress design method. So describe the framework that you created in the Wheel of Progress and how it's related to jobs be done. Because this is where it really gets interesting, folks, and where Eckert has just brought in completely new thinking and an approach and framework to help jobs be done actually become more clear in many ways.
Yeah, that's a great question. So our experience was very interesting in this space, because when we worked with jobs to be done, with the principles, with all the tools and kind of methods that were out there used by jobs to be done practitioners, we realized we still had two issues. One was in the first place explaining what jobs to be done is, and people are still confused these days what jobs to be done is and kind of how to describe it. So that was one of the challenges we faced with our customers. We spent a lot of time, like hours and hours, trying to explain it. And we felt this is not a very productive use of our clients' time. The second issue was with the tools. So although there were some great tools available, like the timeline or forces of progress or job story, we still felt that they were fragmented, that they were like kind of all over the place and we have to put it together. So in 2019, in summer, we started to look at the tools that we were using and we realized, well, there's an opportunity putting everything together, right? Everything on one page. So we did that. We started a development process that took like 3 months and we came up with a tool that we then called the Wheel of Progress, which was a canvas that helps to document a customer job on one page, like a big poster, if you will, on a wall. And based on that tool, we used it in projects and learned about it, how to create a process and a whole method around it. That's how we came up with that thing that we call the customer progress design.
With the Wheel of Progress, outside of sort of some of these tools being fragmented, how were clients using? What problem were you ultimately trying to solve? Was it just that kind of speed to finding, or was it just minimizing complexity, or... Because I've seen it, and I think you've got examples on your site as well. But like now that you've had an opportunity to use it maybe more regularly with your own clients in those discussions, are there any maybe things that you didn't think that it would solve that have even surprised you?
Yeah, using the tool was a whole huge learning project for us because we realized what you can do with this canvas and what you can't do. And ultimately, our set of kind of design objectives was very limited. So let's simplify things. Doing qualitative customer interviews, which are part of the process, can be very complex. So you can deal with like a million variables when you talk to customers. And we said, no, let's focus on just a set. So we came up with 12 elements, or you can also call them variables, that we look at. And we don't look at anything outside. And this focused set of variables really helps to change the whole process and make it much more efficient and really focus on these things that help us understand how customers make progress in life, which also enables us to extrapolate what they may want to kind of use or how they're going to move in the future to make that progress.
How do you go about populating, Eckert, sort of those 12 variables and start thinking about populating the canvas? Because one, a big blank sheet can be super intimidating, right? So where do you start?
Exactly. So the customer progress design consists of 5 steps. The first step is to frame the project. So this is a step that we really need to think very deeply about it because it's very important. Because the people we hire as our interviewees, they got to determine at the end of the day our strategy. So it needs to be a very conscious process thinking about who we want to invite. So when we invite people to interviews and we do qualitative interviews in person or online, then we capture the outcome and the statements from the customer on a wheel of progress. So one customer, one wheel of progress. And then we can structure what we've heard on that canvas. And that helps us to move to the next step, which is then consolidating all of the data. So out of the 12 elements that we are looking for, we collapse and paraphrase all the items, which then turn them into valid data because you don't rely on just one or two people saying something. So there's a kind of more statistical chance that we have discovered something. Of course, when we have kind of a map of the customer jobs from kind of the very, let's say, very nitty-gritty, very technical, we can go up to like the 30, 40, 50,000 feet level and see what are the customers at a very high altitude. And in the next step, then we use the customer jobs to create a rank order. We evaluate them according to four criteria. And then we have like a stack rank of customer jobs. So the customer jobs that are the most worthwhile for you. And in the last step, we transfer the data, not all of the data, but the data that is kind of most useful in a transition canvas. So in that canvas, then we use the data to inform our decisions around value propositions, around messaging, around customer support, buying aid, objection handling, things like that. But the key data source, so to speak, are these customer interviews where we go and interview people about a buying experience when they tried to make progress in life and they bought something new that they've never used before. And we capture that whole story on that canvas.
So cool. I'm curious, do you have a, because I get asked this question quite often, particularly by individuals who are maybe new to the discipline or practice, do you have a sort of a number of interviews or a minimum number of interviews that you like to do to be able to inform and be able to populate the canvas?
Yeah, that's interesting. Many people that I talk to have thought like, wow, I need like dozens and dozens of interviews, which is, according to our experience, it's not the case. So the minimum set of interviews is like 6 that we use. We know this is the absolute minimum when the kind of the customer job is, let's say, tightly defined and kind of from experience, how that looks like. 6 may be sufficient, but if you don't feel the data is kind of stable and showing some patterns, then you can, of course, you can add more, like probably 3, 12, something around that. And then you can decide, do we still need more interviews or do we get a good picture? Is it kind of a solid data set that we get? Are there really patterns that you can observe?
Yeah, just for listeners, it's important to just to make the distinction between things that you will need thousands of interviews to inform something. Obviously, there's a place for that. But if you think about this work, and even I would relate it to almost usability, right, where you can get 80 to 90% of all of your usability issues in 6 to 8 usability sessions, right? If you get to 20, you've probably done too much, perhaps by then. I mean, you've kind of heard everything. It's diminishing returns even. I love that because oftentimes in business, you hear, well, I don't have time for research. But you're saying, hey, let's just go talk to 6, maybe 8, on the high end, maybe 10 customers, right? And then spend a little time in a conference room kind of building this out. Have you ever experienced customers just surprised by how little actually it takes to be able to do this work and to start identify? Or is it, it must be some relief on some level, right? But like, I'm curious just to hear your perspective, maybe even a story if you can share it.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's like in one of my last projects, we just had like a set of 3 interviews. And when you interview customers in a very conscious manner, when you know what you're looking for, instead of let's do some research and see what we find. So it's exactly the opposite. So we know exactly what we are looking for because we are looking for these 12 items, these 12 elements. Then it becomes very, very efficient and it becomes very clear because you can sort these items that you get and then you can see on the map. On the wheel of progress where you got a lot of good input, where there may be some white spaces where you need to follow up in the next interview to go kind of deeper. And clients are usually surprised how little effort in using this method it takes to get some meaningful results. But the key I really want to highlight this is the last step, because it's really not about creating data. It's not about market research. It's not even about jobs we've done. It is really about using that data as insights, as input to make better decisions. And because I cannot show here in that podcast the people how we work with the last canvas, but you can imagine that we have like 4 phases that the customer goes through, becoming aware that there's a deficiency or a problem or that they want their aspirations. In the second phase, it's about looking for solutions. What is the problem? What is the solution space? In the third quarter, it's about comparing solutions, making trade-off decisions, buying the best solution. In the fourth quarter, it's actually using the product or the solution or the service. So we cover all of these 4 phases and help try to come up with concepts to help customers make progress in each of these phases. So it has also a kind of a unifying function. And this is really what the whole process is about. It's about what you get out at the end.
Yeah, so I really like that. One of the things that I love about what you've created is, one, it's simplicity, but 2, more importantly, how you can really bring together a diverse group of individuals from your company to help understand that customer problem and help build it out, but collaboratively as well, right? That's a really important part of this. When you're working with your clients, Eckhard, what is your advice, even for listeners, what is your advice for who you want in the room? So when you're working on a project, I mean, obviously you might have like a head of CX or their team, but like, who else do you want in that room to have the most impact and to be able to create the best outcome?
That's a powerful question. Because you need some diversity. When you look at all the touch points of your customer with your company, there are many people involved, right? Like people from like the marketing department, advertising, sales, service, development, product management. Yeah, there are all these different fractions, and they're kind of sometimes they are in silos. So first of all, I would say it makes sense to have someone or maybe a small group of people who orchestrate the whole process. Because with our method, you can look at the big picture of like 360, how the customer wants to make progress. And every group that's involved should own their own kind of their own decision. They should use the data that was produced during the process to make kind of better decisions. And there are different skills also necessary. So you need to have a team that is good in interviewing, is good in listening, is good in analyzing the data. These are different, sometimes different skill sets. Also, the skill set to abstract, right? To go like from the almost like task-oriented jobs to be done to something at a very high altitude. Because that's really what you want to get at. It's like, not okay, I want to put this from A to B. I want maybe something bigger in life to accomplish something. And so you need to kind of go up to this kind of this level. It takes sometimes a day or 2 days to think about or sleep about it and to realize what the actual customer job is at this high level. And then you need someone who can orchestrate, like moderate the whole process. Because sometimes when you do this in a collaborative fashion, which is great and it's very visual, you need someone who can kind of manage the process of evaluating the data. Because sometimes there is a little bit kind of dispute, I want to say, about what kind of item was this? Was this a force? Was this constrained? And so we need someone who's kind of educated and very good at kind of managing that process. So there are different skills. So you should look at, do I have a diverse team with these skills? We always do the interviews also in teams. And we are now with trained and educated people able to do real-time qualitative interview evaluation. So while the interview is going on, there are people in the background filling out the wheel of progress, which is nice because after the interview, maybe 80% done with the evaluation. So it doesn't take like days or weeks or months to code the data and so on. So yeah, you need a diverse team. Think about the skills. Think about the functions that should be involved. Often it's like people who are the customer advocates in the company. So typically job roles like product managers, chief, I don't know, customer officers and things like that.
Eckhart, have you ever brought customers into that development process to start filling up the wheel of progress? Or have you always kept the interview separate from that? A lot of people talk about treating customers as co-developers, and I'm personally not a fan of focus groups, and I personally wouldn't advocate for that. But like, I'm curious, have you ever brought a customer into that process to fill it out too?
So we have, of course, with the client, that's a no-brainer. That's one of the benefits of this process is to make it transparent. And I invite my clients all the time to go into that template or in this board. I mean, we're using a kind of an electronic whiteboard, and it's open, and they can see where the data came from. They can see what the original kind of the source data was, how we massaged it and so on. With client, with customers and customers, we have not involved them as deeply. Probably that would be the next step. But we have told them about the results. So there was one interview that we did last year with a Greek in Germany who was drinking Cortado, which is a special coffee drink. Yeah. And so we interviewed him, we analyzed the interview, and then we went back and told him, here, we believe you go to this Greek bar, order in Greek, by a very kind of a special barista who can create this drink, otherwise it's ruined, and get like cure your homesickness to Greece. And he just looked at us and with big eyes and say, oh my gosh, this is exactly why I do this. And he didn't realize before. So we told him that what we found out, what we thought was this job to be done, and validated that. So Yeah, that's most common, that we go back with not all the results, but kind of with the end results and try to validate that. Was that really your customer job?
So that's such a great and powerful story, Eckhart. I just love that, right? Like, we oftentimes in the work that we do, we get so caught up in the journey, right? If you were just to map out that journey and you were said, this individual, and as a Greek American, I can resonate with the coffee and the importance of coffee in our culture. But like, this individual leaves their home, goes to the coffee shop, the barista makes the coffee, they sit down, they're being served, they drink the coffee, they pay, and they leave and they go back home. Versus understanding that this individual is there to satisfy a very deep need for themselves, to satisfy that homesickness and give them a little piece of home in the middle of Germany. That's such an important lesson for us to just always think about when you're thinking about it. Just if you're doing journey mapping, it's not just about how people feel through that journey. It's just, what need are you solving for? And I think that's where the work you're doing really is important. I'm curious. So like, if you think about customer experience broadly, so many people have sort of the break fix stuff down, right? Like that from a customer experience perspective feels like we've matured broadly, where there is a little bit of still learning to do for a lot of companies is making that connection between customer experience and strategy. A lot of companies, and BCG created the inner loop and the outer loop. This feels like your framework really does connect the outer loop, or being able to connect this work to strategy for a business. Do you find that? Is that your goal? Or how do you kind of think about that in the process when you're working with your clients?
Yes, indeed. I mean, what you just touched on, I think, is a potential issue, is that we are sometimes just too focused on the kind of the transaction, thinking about the transactional relationships, talking about a customer journey without all the underlying things that are going on in the customer's head, how they think, how they feel, what their aspirations are, what their obstacles are, what the constraints are in making progress, what the customer job is, what the pains and gains are. These are all things that are very meaningful. And to me, a customer journey without those elements, or understanding these elements from customers, it's like, wow, what's the point, right? It's all about how the customer feels. So we need to take the place of the customer. Yeah. And of course, when we have really understood what the customer job is, we can really think about what's our purpose as an organization. And we can sharpen that, or we can create it when we are like a startup where you don't have a clear organizational purpose. And I think this purpose really can serve as a North Star for everybody in the organization to understand their role, because they understand how the customer wants to make progress in life. And so that's a relationship to strategy. So how do we strategically help customers make progress? What are the levers we need to pull? What are the next things the customer may need? Because when you ask customers what they want, they will tell you something, but it's not necessarily what they need, because we know others. This quote from Henry Ford is that if I had asked people what they want, they would have told me faster horses. So it's kind of preventing this issue, because it's not the customer job really to think about what is the next vehicle, what's the next tool that's going to help me make progress. That's our job. So I think we can more intelligently create solutions. And it's not only the product, it's the whole experience, from becoming aware that there's an issue to buying, to servicing the need, and get an understanding that we as an organization, we are a service to the customer. We are not a product company. It's kind of, from the customer point of view, I want to say it's more like a service.
Great response to that. The thing that resonated with me right there, Eckhart, is how do you help customers make progress in life, right? That's a really powerful statement that you just made, that we often think about, hey, it's the product, that's how they're using it, et cetera. But at the end of the day, we're moving through life as customers. Right? It's the product that is we're bringing into our lives to solve something that we need, right? What that job to be done, essentially. Such a powerful statement.
Yeah, at the core is really of our mental model is the understanding that the customer goes through cycles. And the Wheel of Progress shows us like that micro cycle. Yeah. Of course, there are, when you look at the lifetime, that we go through many cycles, and then we can even build our portfolio in a way that we can serve a client or a customer over many cycles. I think that's another aspect that helps us become more meaningful, not like a one-time thing for the customer, but like building a long-term relationship with them.
Oh, so cool. Ecker, one of the things that inspires me is folks like you who take an existing principle or framework or approach, whatever you want to call it, or mindset, and actually make it better or expand on it for people. Thank you, one, for doing that. I'm curious, what inspires you?
Yeah, there are many, many things that inspire me. One is I really love listening to podcasts or go to presentations or these days doing this from the comfort of your home, like attending webinars and so on. But that's also kind of a strange thing that happened in my life. It's like when you get older, you don't sleep that well. And at night, maybe at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, you wake up and your mind is super clear. And then you start thinking about what you're working on during the daytime. And that really kind of during my cycle developing the Wheel of Progress made a big difference. That I when I woke up in the night, I could kind of get up and write down my thoughts, and then I could go back to sleep. And there was kind of this phase during the night that made a big difference in helping me to kind of re-energize and come up with some special ideas I want to say.
So we're on the same age, Eckert. So I know I can, right. What's happening to you is resonating very well, very much with me. I'm the same way. So I record at different hours, depending on where the guest is, obviously. But I always find myself waking up the next day after recording early in the morning, 4 a.m. as well, and thinking about the show and like what that person said and how that has had an impact on me, my life, and the work that I do. So I'm sure that I'll be waking up tomorrow morning and doing the same thing. So Eckert, where can people find you, the work that you're doing? Like, why don't you give us your website and where they can find you?
Yeah, just go to unipro-solutions.com. That's my site. It's both in German and in English. I have a blog, I have videos, I have all kinds of stuff. So when people are interested in this process, go to the site. Also, there's a documentation about the method. Just get in touch if you want to learn.
So I really encourage listeners to go check out the site. There's a lot there to even get you started thinking about it, but definitely get in touch with Eckert. Great stuff. Eckert, thank you so much for being on the show. This is really interesting, and you're doing fascinating work and really helping advance the discipline. So thank you for doing that.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
All right, everybody. Another great show. I'm really excited about this. Go check out unipro-solutions.com. You will not regret it, folks. Talk to you soon,
everyone. Thanks for listening to Be Customer Led with Bill Stakos. We are grateful to our audience for the gift of their time. Be sure to visit us at becustomerled.com for more episodes. Leave us feedback on how we're doing or tell us what you want to hear more about. Until next time, we're out.